Welcome to episode 141 of Hit the Mic with the Stacey Harris. Hello, hello. This is the Stacey Harris, episode 141. We're going to talk about hiring your first or just a good graphic designer today because this is something that I think we really struggle with when it comes time to outsource that visual part of our brand and our business and our what we do. It's hard to let go. It's hard to trust somebody with that, but it's also, I think, really overwhelming to find somebody, somebody that you work well with. So I've got Christy Halmick on the show today, and we're going to talk about how to do that. She is a graphic designer. She helps tons of people with this. So it's really great to get her perspective on working with someone and hiring somebody. And what that process should look like and can look like. I'm really excited about this. I think it'll be really helpful. Be ready to take some notes and get some great information. Before we start that, I wanted to let you know I am currently booking my April Done For You strategy build. So if you are somebody who it wants to outsource your social, maybe you want to hire a VA or sort of a less expensive social media manager. That's awesome, and I'm very excited for you. But realize that they will do a lot better if you hand them a social media strategy to run with, which is what my clients who go through this do. What we do together is we sit down and we talk, and I build them a social media strategy from top to bottom that they can then hand over to a VA or someone like that who has the knowledge to run their social media, but does not have the knowledge to build them a strategy so that they know why they're posting the things that they're posting, versus hiring somebody at a much higher cost who does know how to do that part as well. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm booking those April spots right now. These tend to fill up. So if this is something you're interested in, let me know. Just so you know, the price of this is going up April 1st. So if you want this done in April, I would suggest making that decision now. You don't have to make it without talking to me. We're going to actually sit down for half an hour call, you and me one-on-one, and make sure that this is the best step, because it's not for everybody. I get on the phone with a lot of people who this isn't a good fit for, and I will tell you that. I will absolutely direct you to something else that's a better fit, whether it's through me or somebody else. So that's why there's that call, so that you can go into that confidently knowing that this is going to be the next step you need. So that's really cool. Plus, you get to talk to me, which is fun. All right. So if you want to learn more about that, go to thestaceyharris.com/episode141, and you'll see a link for Done For You Strategies. Just go ahead and check that out. Fill out the request form to get a call with me, and we'll get on the phone. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and dive in. Christy Halmick of Jules Branch teaches women with online businesses the branding, graphic design, and software skills they need to create logos, websites, social media graphics, and digital products they're proud to call their own. She's especially good at getting tech-phobic biz ladies to overcome software fears that are keeping them from being as creative as they want to be in their businesses. Christy also practices what she teaches. You can find her designing logos, developing websites, and creating digital products with women entrepreneurs who don't want to do it all alone, which is what I suggest. Sign up for Jules Branch free brand training workshop, polish your online brand, and learn more about working one-on-one with Christy at julesbranch.com. Of course, there's a link to that over on the website. Without any further ado, let's jump in and talk to Christy. All right, as promised, guys, I've got Christy Halmick on the show now with me here, not live because this is recorded, but she's live with me in this moment. So we're going to go with that. We're going to talk about hiring your first designer today, as I mentioned earlier, and it's going to be super, super informative. So get your notepads ready, or Evernote or whatever it is you use. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Hi, great to be here.
I'm really excited to talk about this, because I told you this before we started recording, but I literally had someone ask me this question the other day.
Yeah.
Because I went through a rebrand last year, and they were like, you know, so when you hired your designer, like, what did you look for? And I was like, I was super lucky. My branding consultant was like a designer all wrapped in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was the most amazing thing. So I'm really excited to give people some sort of actionable tips today for working with their first designer, because I think it can be scary. Because I think this is one of the things people outsource first.
Yes.
Because they've reached a point where they're, like, ready to upgrade,
mm-hmm.
and they've realized that they can no longer do it themselves and look professional. At least that was my experience.
Definitely.
So, before we jump in, can you tell us all a little bit about you?
Yeah. So, I am Christy Halmick. My company is called Jules Branch, and I do kind of a combo of things all related branding. So I teach graphic design and I teach branding to women with online businesses who do want to do it themselves, who do want to learn it, how to do all this stuff themselves for their own businesses. So I teach that. And then for the ladies out there and men out there who do not want to do it themselves or are done doing it themselves, I also do design everything from logos to websites to ebooks, magazines, pretty much the full gamut of design type stuff. So that's the nutshell version. My background is magazine design. I was a magazine art director for a long time before I had my kids. And I had my kids and I said, I'm just going to be a mom, hang out here, be a mom. And I missed being creative. So I started designing again and did, have my own design studio for a long time before I kind of ventured into the whole online teaching thing and started that aspect of my business most recently.
I love that because for me, I was a stay-at-home mom for a while too, and I was like, oh yeah, this is great. This is awesome. Okay, I missed the part of my brain that functions when I work.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was for me. I thought, you know what, I'm losing like any ability to have abstract thought. So
yeah.
I want that back. And I actually started out doing pro bono work because I thought, you know, that'll be really flexible when the kids are small.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of transitioned into working, you know, full-time doing design. And I live in the middle of Missouri, so the opportunities here in my town, it's a very tiny town, are small. So the internet has been my lifeline to design work and to clients, and I've worked with people all over the world, so it's been very, very awesome to be able to do that from here in the middle of Missouri.
That's one of my favorite things about the internet, though, is it makes the world a little bit smaller.
Yes, yes. And that's great for finding a designer. It is really great.
So. Well, I think, you know, sort of talking about that, it is great for finding a designer or whoever it is you need because your options are not limited to the 25 square miles yes. around you or whatever it is you're willing to drive.
Yes, that is true.
It opens up literally a whole world of opportunity. But see, on the flip side of that, it also opens up a whole world of choices.
Of overwhelm, yeah. It's
which,
easy.
In my opinion, leads to me going, I don't know which one. I'm not good at this. This is why I need someone else. All right, so let's jump in. Let's talk about these three tips. Where do we need to start when we decide? We've decided it's time.
Okay.
We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is, and this is not really a tip. It's just kind of a way of thinking about it, is when you're hiring a designer, you're thinking about hiring a designer, you're starting a relationship. So so if you think about this like marriage or any other long-term mm-hmm. significant other relationship, that's what you're starting. And if you put yourself kind of in that place and say, I'm building this and communicating in a way that says to the designer that I'm in this with them, I'm partners with them for the long haul, that can really set you up for having a really good relationship from the very beginning before anything else. So just keeping that in mind of looking at it as a relationship and that communication needs to be open and honest and all that kind of stuff can really set you up no matter which way you end up going with which designer you pick or if you even do stay in the relationship long term. Okay, so that aside.
No, I think that's important. That's like tip zero.
Tip zero. So number one is to be really 100% sure that you are ready to do this. Design, it is a huge investment. And so it is really a luxury. Like you can build an entire business without spending a dime on a designer, without ever hiring a designer. So being 100% clear, saying to yourself, I'm done. I don't want to design anymore. I don't want to do this myself anymore. Or I'm ready to step up my look. I'm all in. Versus being in that spot where you're thinking, maybe I can still do this myself. Or maybe I can have my neighbor's cousin's niece do this. So I'm not really sure I even need a designer. Being 100% sure. That's the very, very, very first step. And if you are feeling the least bit wobbly about investing in that way, if you're not feeling good in any way about plopping down that money, then I want you to take a step back and get clear with yourself on that first. Because when you come into this relationship with a designer, if you have any hesitations, they're going to feel that.
Absolutely.
It's going to come across in the way that you communicate with them. It's going to come across in you being wishy-washy with, you know, what fonts to use and all that kind of stuff. So it's setting yourself up and putting yourself in a place of really strong confidence and a really solid foundation if you know 100% certain that you're ready for this.
Well, like, I think you point to a really good thing. You're not going to get your best possible results if you go in sort of half-assed.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, I think you're absolutely right in the sense that you say hiring a designer is not the first thing you need to do when you start a business. So for those of you who are listening and you're like in your first 6 months and you're like, oh, I have no money, then maybe a designer is not the place to put your money right now. I went 2.5-ish years, mm-hmm. I want to say, almost 3 years. I hired my first designer almost exactly 3 years after saying I should figure out what I could do.
Yeah.
Like, so 6 months before my business actually officially started. Yeah. And it was a great time then because I was ready, like you said, to mm-hmm. upgrade the look. I was ready to sort of go pro with the visual part of my business. Yeah. But I made some money so that I could really invest in a mm-hmm. good designer. Mm-hmm. I didn't want designs that were equal to what I could do myself, which granted was not very high. But, you know, I wanted to be able to invest in somebody who was going to be amazing. And I did.
Yeah. Yeah, and most people will, that's probably the part where they get hung up, is just in jumping into that before they're ready. And you would think that most designers would be like, oh, Christy, don't say that. But we want you to be ready. We want you to be confident. We want you to be just, you know, chomping at the bit to get this done for your business. Because that brings that excitement level in. It doesn't bring in that, oh, I'm not sure about this feeling. So that's what we want. We want clients that are ready. We're ready for you. We want you to be ready. So that's the first.
Well,
make sure you're ready.
And I think also from a readiness standpoint, it is not always necessarily a reflection of your ability to invest.
No.
But I think having a little bit of experience under your belt also gives you a clarity about your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So not just, you know, from a number standpoint, but like if I had hired a designer, invested all of that time and money into it in my first year of business, which I closed a year after it started and opened mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the business that exists now, that would have been a huge waste of time for my designer, a huge waste of money for me. I mean, after I closed that business and started this one was around for a year before I started, mm-hmm. Before I did the rebrand and then hired a designer, because I didn't have that clarity around what I was going to want.
Yeah.
Even if I had had all the money in the world and could have hired a designer day one, I wouldn't have been able to go into the relationship with any kind of clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's number two. Number two is clarity about the project that you're going to have the designer do. So you could start off, you know, doing the branding aspect with your designer. You could start off having them do a postcard. So there's a ton of different projects you might jump into. You know, design of your brand isn't always linear. It really doesn't always start with a logo. It may start with a tiny website, just to get you up and going. And so clarity about the specific project that you're going to have somebody work on. And there's a couple of steps to that. So it's, you know, what do you want the designer to do? What is it? Why? Why do you need this for your business? That's a huge, huge one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Who your audience is. And if you're not certain about your business, you're not going to know this stuff yet. What your audience needs to do with whatever piece the designer's creating for you. What you want this project to look like.
Yeah.
I'm just talking over you.
No, it's fine. I think this is, it's so important to have that clarity because from my perspective and my experience with designers, the same person that's going to do a postcard for me or an ebook cover is mm-hmm. not necessarily the same designer who's going to do a website design for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not all web designers are this awesome magical bucket of like, I can design mm-hmm. anything. There are mm-hmm. some of them.
Yeah.
But there are also a lot of web designers who are web designers. They're yes. not going to do anything for print.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who's like, oh, well, you know, I'm launching a magazine, maybe don't hire a web designer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes your clarity is as simple as that. But I like your you know, mm-hmm. in one of those steps you said, or one of those pieces you said, mm-hmm. clarity about who your clients are and what they're going to do with whatever you're getting designed.
Yeah.
Because that's like the foundation. If you don't yes. have that, nothing good is going to come out of whatever you design. I don't care how good the designer is.
Yeah, it's very hard as a designer to just make up something with no idea who it's for or what they're going to do with it. That's the worst position to be in as a designer. And that happens to all of us designers because of this lack of preparation in terms of figuring out that stuff. In some cases, the designer's like, all right, I'll just make this up. And that's cool. But as a business owner, the way to think about it for yourself is, do I want the designer making up what my business is about?
Mm-hmm.
No, that ownership is yours. This is your business. It's your name on it. It's basically your face, you know? So make sure that you're being clear on those parts of it that are the most important to you. And then let the designer do their job. Don't force them into doing your job and their job, because that's not good.
Yeah. So one question I have about this piece are these things that we should have like written down so that we can like hand it over? Like now that I have worked with a branding mm-hmm. person, I literally have like a brand
yes.
board.
Yeah.
Because yeah. now if I need to go get a postcard done, mm-hmm. I can hand them that and be like, yes. here you go.
Yes.
Maybe we're working with somebody who's going to help us with our website or putting mm-hmm. our brand pieces together. Should we have some sort of document that's got like a description of our ideal clients, a description of our mm-hmm. services?
Yeah, any of that information that you can give to a designer is going to help.
Okay.
Now, here's the caveat. So if you're going on Fiverr, which I hope you're not right now, if you're working on your brand, they don't care because they're not going to have time to read that and do your thing for $5. So you want to work with somebody who is actually interested in knowing all this stuff because it's a key part of them designing something that works for you, for your brand, and, you know, delivers your message well. So all of that stuff that I said just a minute ago, that kind of checklist, if you have that stuff in place, that's going to make it so much easier for you to communicate with the designer. And so if you don't have that in place, here's kind of what to do. So you want to sit down, do a big brain dump, and say, what is everything I know about this project? So what's everything I know about my logo that I want it to be? What's the stuff that I don't know? Like, well, I don't know how to pick colors, right? So mm-hmm. you don't have to know that because your designer is going to do that, but that's a question you have. So dump all that stuff out. And if you're not good at doing the brain dump and you like talking through things, sit down and talk it out with somebody and have them write down your questions and things for you. And you're going to see where the gaps are in like, okay, I don't know anything about like what kind of files they should send me. And those are all the questions that you're going to do when we talk about the next step, the actually finding the person to work with. So yes, like as much of your brain as you can take out and give mm-hmm. to your designer, it's going to be helpful. Very, very helpful. The other thing that I didn't say was like what it's going to look like. So if you can write now, and we're ending up doing like 15 tips instead of 3, but
there's some tips.
If right now, this is part of the getting clear, if you can start kind of curating the looks that you like, and Pinterest is a great place to do this. Start a board, pin things that you like. You can hand that off to the designer and say, here's the vibe I'm going for. And it's not always easy to describe, like, I want bohemian, you know, whatever. Well, what does that mean? But if you can show somebody, oh, here's, you know, a catalog that shows bohemian, then they can be like, okay, I get what you're saying whenever you use that word.
Yeah, because that means 75 different things to, like, exactly. 14 different people.
And so if... So visually communicating with your designer, that helps you get it out of your head too, because mm-hmm. you may say bohemian, and then when you put that board together with examples of stuff you like, it may not be that at all.
Right.
So
that was actually a super helpful thing for me when I worked with Kay, who we've had on the show, Kay Putnam. She was my brand consultant and did some design work for me and as a part of my brand package. And that was a hugely, hugely awesome thing. And I started doing that probably 6 months before I actually hired mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
I started getting clear. And I also made note of, and I think this is helpful, I made note of the things of my existing pieces that I liked.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Here's what I have that I like. Here's mm-hmm. what I have that I'm not super happy with.
Yeah.
So that you can, so it's, it was really clear for my designer, like, what my pain points were. Like, what do we need to make sure gets changed?
Yeah, definitely.
And also, with example, you know, maybe if it's not your website, maybe it's a brand you like. Mm-hmm. I really like how she does this, but this is something I absolutely don't want in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, anything specific like that that you can pull forward. The very worst thing is coming to the designer with nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, then they are going to make stuff up. And that's going to make the process longer, because they have to make it up, and then you have to say, oh, no, that's not what I had in my head, versus you saying, okay, look, here's what I had in my head, and them iterating, you know, kind of from that kind of perspective.
Okay, so let's move forward with how to hire this person, because I think that's going to be the big hurdle. You know, we're prepared, we're ready to make the investment, mm-hmm. we have the clarity. Mm-hmm. I know there's probably several people listening to this who are like, okay, I'm there, sweet, I'm really ready, now I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, now what?
So finding this person. So to me, like, let's just set budget aside for a while, because...
Don't we wish we could actually do that?
We wish we could actually do that. And I would design for free for everyone, and that would be awesome if I could pay my bills. but... So finding that designer. So if you've done that curation process and you have an idea of you know, what your look is, even if it's just kind of broad, you know, I like dreamy looking photos kind of thing and swirly fonts, that's great. Then you need to find a designer that looks like what you look like. First of all, looks like what you love, that their portfolio matches up with your style. There are designers that can design a broad range of styles. That's true. But most of us have our look. We have a way that we put things together that is based on all of our experience. So my look is way more magazine-ish than most people's because of my background in journalism and magazines. There are lots of people who use watercolors and stuff in their designs and do their own illustrations. And so finding that person whose look is very similar to what you want. And this is like needle in the haystack kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So reaching out, I mean, you will have penned a bunch of different things. So if you've penned websites, you can reach out to the designers of those websites. You can ask for referrals from people around you. You can get on sites like Behance, where there are tons of designers and their portfolios, and search through there. The designer for you is out there. It's finding her or him. It's finding several of those people and then saying, okay, can they do what I want? You know, like you said, can they design a magazine if it's a magazine? Are they a web designer? Mm-hmm. Are they a logo designer? You know, that's the part of knowing what your project is. And then you can start having those conversations with them and getting those questions answered that you had about the process. So that's kind of the first set of that, getting somebody to do the work for you.
For one of the first things I did, too, was I tapped my network, because I was mm-hmm. like, who have you worked with that was awesome? And who have you worked with that wasn't awesome? Because mm-hmm. sometimes you see these portfolios and they look great, and then the customer experience, not great. So I absolutely tapped my network for recommendations and referrals, because if you're a good designer, if you're good at anything, people will talk about you for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're a bad one, they'll also talk about you.
Yeah.
That's a whole other episode. So I really like that idea of like if you see something you like, go to them. I think that's a really clear first step if you feel like you're just, because I think Googling website designer, not a good first step.
No, it's not a good first step. It's not specific enough. There's the other part of it in terms of like, okay, if you're a health coach, who does websites for all the other health coaches? Like, go find them. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you'll hire them. But they know the other people who do stuff like they do. Like, they know their competitors. And they're not necessarily their competitors. So, they may say, that's a great project, but I am too full, but you can talk to this person. And so they will hand you off then. Mm-hmm. If they're a good designer and they're good, they'll say, I can't do it now, or it's not quite my style, but here's somebody else to talk to. And so you're kind of going down this chain of following the map, following the web until you find that person, you know, through referrals from, like you said, people you know, or from designers where you've said, I love your style. Do you know somebody else who does similar work? And they're going to, because we know that stuff.
Yeah.
We know it does work like ours.
And I really like the point of hiring somebody who does work like you want. You know, don't hire somebody. If you want a very clean and minimalist website, don't hire somebody who does like a lot of like hand-drawn graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're just sort of...
That's their specialty. And, yeah. And like when you find somebody in that, what you want is their specialty, they're going to be faster at doing it. They're going to get what you want quicker. The communication is going to be easier because you're both on the same page. You know, one of you's not thinking bohemian and the other's thinking grunge. I was going to say something else and it totally went out of my mind. Then it's the time to start talking process. So how does this person work? And does that align with how you like to work? So are you a micromanager? And if you are and you know this about yourself, then you need to know if that designer can handle that. Like, do they like to be micromanaged or do they like to go off and do their work themselves and then be like, here's the masterpiece? So there's that conversation to have. And that can be a hard conversation to have, but it's one that you need to have. You need to be upfront about who you are as a person. Like, I'm a nitpicker, or I'm flaky, or be honest about how you work. And, that's going to be hard on your end to say, to be honest with yourself and say, okay, I'm a little bit of a control freak, or I'm not, you know? And then how do they communicate? Do they like to get on email? Do they like to get on Skype? Do they like to hop on the phone? You know, if they're local, can they meet with you? All that kind of stuff to make sure that stuff is a fit to you.
I love that reminder because for me, I absolutely know I am not somebody who wants to manage this. If I wanted to manage it, I would do it myself.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I am not somebody who I want you to be sending me emails 6 times a day to give me updates. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people want that and need that. And that's great. If that's the way you work, that's the way you work. Don't change that up. Just find somebody who also is okay with that.
Also, I'm an email person. Like, I knew I didn't want somebody who was going to want to get on the phone with me 6 times a day. Because you're lucky if you can get me on the phone once. Like, hop on Skype. Let's get clear with what we need to get clear on. We had, an hour session where we sort of... I brain dumped everything. I just, like, unloaded my brain on her. And I was like, here's this. Here's the board. And then, like, if she needed an update, she just emailed me.
Yeah.
It's like, this is fantastic. So I think that's such an overlooked part. Because I think, you know, it's not the first meeting or the final result always that leaves a bad impression. It's the process.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that bad process or, you know, frustrating process comes from just not being the same working styles. Because I think we all have our sort of own thing. You know, my clients tend not, you know, from a social media perspective, my clients tend not to be people who want to micromanage me. Mm-hmm. Or who wants to get on the phone all the time. Because like I said, I'm an email person. Like, drop me an email, let me know what's up. And I'm somebody who, like, my clients are people who know they hired me for my expertise and are like, okay, go do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So knowing that about yourself is going to, you're right, it's going to make it so much less painful.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those tips that's applicable to any hire.
Mm-hmm.
Your designer, your VA, whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a designer listening to this, flip this stuff over because all this stuff works on the other side too. like in how you communicate and all that. And so, the designer end of it, you can bring all this stuff to the table for your client because it helps your client for you to be that active and proactive and say, here's how I work and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And maybe some of these things go in a questionnaire before you start working mm-hmm. with them. You know, what's your favorite way to connect with someone?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of check-ins do you prefer? You know, you can say it in a way that's not like, are you going to be a pain in my ass?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think making them think about that, because I don't necessarily think, you know, that everybody thinks about that when they're hiring. And also, I think that we forget from a hiring perspective that we are not the only one, air quote, interviewing.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So make sure you show up and bring your best game as a client.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of designers, I know a lot of any kind of service provider, and I'm this way with my clients. There's a reason there's a 30-minute preview call before any of my high-end stuff. It's because I want to know that this relationship's going to go well.
Exactly. We want it to work. We want it to work. And if it's not going to work,
I want to point you someplace better.
Yeah, I want to send you someplace else. I don't want you out there with an ugly website. I want you to be taken care of. And I may not be that person for you, but there's someone out there.
Because there's fish in the sea.
There's lots of... There are lots of personalities. I mean, it's wide open.
Yeah.
But one last thing before we go is contracts and budget. That's a whole nother day.
I think there's designers in just about every budget. There's the every best budget person you can afford.
Yes. There's everywhere out there. But contracts, make sure that you have a contract. And it can be as simple as you want it to be, but it needs to say what the designer is going to do for you. They're going to do X, Y, Z. It's going to be done on this date. It needs dates and milestones also. Here's how much I'm going to pay. It needs to include what are the revisions? What's the revision process? How many revisions are there? What happens if we go over that number of revisions? How am I charged for that? And it needs to include a how do we get out of this relationship if we hate it clause. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's lawyer speak for that. But because if it is a bad relationship, you want to get out of it. So indications of a bad relationship. Your designer doesn't ever answer your phone calls or your emails or anything. Mm-hmm. They miss deadlines. As the business owner, if that designer misses the deadline, you have to contact them and say, you missed the deadline. What's going on? That's your job. And it shouldn't be your job if you have a good designer, but that happens. And so set yourself up with the contract that says specifically, if stuff goes down crazy, how do we get out of this peacefully? You know?
I also think I like to include in those kind of contracts what's expected of me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you'll contact a designer because they missed a deadline. And I haven't had this happen, but I've heard stories. And they're like, oh, well, I was waiting for X, Y, Z from you, and you never got it to me.
Yeah. That's proactive. That's where the designer needs to be proactive also. And so if your client's not getting back to you, and you're the client, and your designer's saying, hey, I need that in order to do this, respond and say, okay, I know that, but it's going to be Thursday. And I know that because it's Thursday, we're pushing our deadlines. And I know that's going to have an impact. So... that's that relationship thing that we talked about at the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. this is a relationship and it's back and forth and it's negotiation and it's give and take so that we can get to this end result. And it's not going to be perfect. Like, it's not going to be super smooth sailing the whole time. There's going to be stuff you miss, your designer misses, things that aren't communicated clearly, even when you do all the stuff that we've talked about doing, because you're human. So, if you can come into it with that, have your contracts in place, get yourself clear on where you're going to be, what you're doing, what the designer needs to do for you, and just be confident. Show up. Be yourself. It's going to work out good.
I love that. And I think that you kind of glossed over something that's really important is, like, remember the person is human.
Yes.
Like, when they come back to you and you're like, wait a minute, this is not what we talked about. Like, okay, but then let's discuss it. It's not like,
mm-hmm.
what the hell, and you're freaking out and you're, you know, yelling like that. No, like, okay. Yeah. Like, what needs to be changed specifically? And mm-hmm. do not get mad about changes if you don't know what it is you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a designer that had a client like that, and it was No, I just don't like it. It's just not right. What would you like me to change? I don't know. It's just not right. Redo it.
There's probably a whole other episode on just how to give constructive criticism.
Yes. So I'm like, wait, how are you supposed to change it?
But, you know, a spoonful of sugar goes a really long way. So if you can be nice to your designer, pay your bills on time, all that stuff, and say, yes, you know, I don't like this, but I do like this, but I don't like that.
I call the compliment sandwich good thing, bad thing, good thing.
Mm-hmm. It's the relationship building, and it's, you know, it's the same thing of like getting your kids to do something. Okay, I'm giving you this, and you're going to do this, and then you're going to get this reward. And that sounds kind of manipulative, but it's just good business, being nice to your designer and your designer being nice to you so that you can work together, and, you know, work through with the issues that come up, in a way that doesn't put stress on you and doesn't put stress on them. 'Cause that's not a productive environment to being creative at all is having stress levels up there. So
awesome. So where can everybody find you and how to connect with you?
You can find me, probably the best place is my website. That's julesbranch.com. And, I'm assuming you're going to have a link to it.
There will be a link in the show notes.
But, and I'm on Facebook, Jules Branch, and Twitter, Jules Branch, and, Pinterest, I believe it's Jules Branch too, but it might be Christy Almick. Not certain on that one.
We'll have links in the show notes.
I have a bunch of boards on there. So if you're curious about kind of diving in and finding stuff that you like, I have brands kind of by color and all kinds of designery stuff there. So it might be a good spot if you're at that curation process to jump in and just find some stuff you like on my boards. And that'll shuttle you off in other directions for more search. Cool.
And I'll include a link to the brand board I built before working with my first designer.
Yeah.
You can kind of see it's not all website stuff. Like there's like a product packaging that's pink and gold for a champagne. Don't get in the concept of like, okay, well it needs to be those pretty color blocks that people do. No, it can be anything.
Yes. Anything.
Mine is super obscure, so I'll include a link to that so you guys can kind of see what a curated finished one looks like, and then you can head over to Christy's stuff and start making your own. And then be sure to share them with us because I like seeing people's brand boards. I randomly follow people's brand boards on Pinterest because they fascinate me.
Mm-hmm.
Not a designer, not doing branding. I just like looking at you guys putting your brands together. It's weird. It's a weirdness, but it's cool. So thank you, Christy, for being on the show. Like I said, links to everything will be in the show notes. Thanks to you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.